This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. It is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. We've got a full show, for the most part, taking you up to 6:15 tonight right here on The Fan. We're going to get you out to Ashburn for the press conference beginning with GM Adam Peters of the Commanders ahead of the NFL draft next week in just a moment. Quick lay of the land, Kevin Hart tickets for you today at 4 o'clock and at 5 o'clock right here on G&D. So, you want to see Kevin Hart when he comes to DAR Constitution Hall, you better be listening at 4 ahead of the Blitz and at 5 o'clock today. We got a great guest lineup, including ESPN draft expert Jordan Reed at 3:30 and cap center Nick Dowd.
Dowder.
Who scored in two of their final three games, all wins, to get into the playoffs. He will join us at 4:30 today, but the NFL draft will do the heavy lifting. And speaking of which, Adam Peters is headed to the podium in Ashburn. So let's get you out to the facility for his pre-draft press conference live right now on Grant and Danny.
All right. Last time I got in trouble because I didn't put this thing in front of my face. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Before we get started and answering questions, I have a bunch of people I want to thank, so this might take a little bit. So please bear with me, but there's a ton of people in on this process that I really want to recognize and thank for all the hard work they've put in. First, Josh Harris, our owner, who has given us every resource we needed to get things done here and continues to do so and being a great leader for us. So thank you, Josh. In the personnel department, the man to my right here, Lance Newmark, like I said, I don't know what I'd do without him. He's been outstanding through this whole process, has set everything up, set the table, and just been an incredible ally, asset, not to mention a great evaluator. So thank you. And then I'll just go down to our personnel department, Martin Mayhew, Eric Stokes. In the college scouting department, you have Tim Gribble, our director of college scouting, Jeff Bethard, Tyler Clater, Chuck Cook, Pete Pissarelli, Harrison Richer, Ron Rose, Paul Scancy, Roger Terry, and Dave Whittington. Those guys, I don't want to swear, but they bust their humps throughout the year, starting really. This process starts almost 12 months ago for those guys. So they're away from their families a lot. They work extremely hard. They find a ton of information that helps us make decisions. So I can't thank those guys enough, and they've done an excellent job. It's been awesome getting to know them through this process. Pro scouting department, led by Chris Polian, our director of pro scouting, with Connor Behringer and Brent Caprio, Cap we call him. Those guys were really instrumental in terms of doing a lot of stuff with one team needs, but really we had a really very successful local pro day where we brought a lot of the local college kids in here and we charged those guys with doing that, and it went off without a hitch. It was really successful. Got a lot out of that, so thanks to those guys. And the personnel, rest of the personnel staff, Doug Williams has been working with us a lot. Doug's been outstanding in all our meetings and obviously a great quarterback in this league and especially for this franchise, and he has a lot to add, and especially as we're going through what we're doing right now with the number two pick. So Doug was awesome. Ashley Kors, who I know you guys have all heard about, Topgolf, and Ashley, that was a labor of love for her. She had over 20 young men here at the same time, and you should see this grid that she put together for everybody meeting with everybody and what we did. And she worked really hard on that. So I want to thank her for that and all that she does for our, our department. We have a couple of scouting assistants, Chuck Brenzinger and Brian Cook, who work tirelessly to help us out with everything we do. Sarah Zabo, who's been awesome working with me throughout since I've been here. I can't thank her enough for really keeping me on track and allowing me to do the things I do and making sure I'm not missing stuff and just being a great friend as well. Coaching staff, I won't talk about all the coaches, but I'll say Coach Quinn and his staff, they've been outstanding and really collaborative in this process. And then Sarah Hogan, who's DQ's chief of staff, she's been awesome making sure we're both on the same page, coaching and scouting. Analytics, Eugene leads that analytics department, Eugene Shen, and along with Doug Drury, Preston Biro, and Danielle Moore, they were really instrumental in our draft process, being in the draft room for our meetings. And then in Football Solutions, our developers, Sinu Tuluri and Gayatri Nambiar, we've asked a lot of them in terms of changing our database a little bit, and they've been on top of it, so that's been great. Rob Rogers, always there in case, you know, I'm screwing something up or just be a shoulder to get some advice with. And then our player wellness department, led by Tim McGrath, a lot of things that we're asked of them throughout the process, especially the combine, with all the physicals we do, and then when the players come in here too. I got a few more, so bear with me. Don't worry, I'll answer a lot of questions too. This isn't just a filibuster. going into the football video and IT department, they did a great job. We have our draft room's right behind us, and they really made that into a working, very good draft room. We switched over to DV Sport to use our video, and that was no easy task. And they kicked you know what doing that stuff. Football ops, Brian Porter, Matt Peterson, Cyrus Daniels, getting everybody in line for all these 30 visits. Our player development did a great job meeting with the players. That's Malcolm Blacken and Alexis Dotson. The man to my left here, Sean, does an awesome job and continues to, him and his staff. Kitchen staff, Connor McGuire leads that. We have a great kitchen staff. We're gonna do way better than that D+. I guarantee you that. They're outstanding, and they had to cook for a lot of extra people, and they really worked really hard on that. And then John Radke, our facilities manager, we outfitted this room and made it into a real deal draft room, and he was the lead on that. So thank you, John. Security, Mike Jacob and Jermaine King, making sure we're all safe here in our equipment department. So almost done, but on a personal note too, I really want to thank my family because I haven't been around much. So they moved across country by themselves. My wife, Jen, our two daughters, and my mother-in-law, Linda, has been with us the whole way and really moving us into our new house. I haven't opened one box, and I feel terrible about that. And they moved a dog and a cat across the country. So I want to thank them. And then I think that's it. I think I've thanked everybody in the DMV. So, but I really do appreciate everybody here, and hopefully I didn't miss anybody. But that it takes the whole organization to do something like this. I appreciate that. With that, answer some questions.
Hey, John Kime, ESPN. This is for both of you. You guys have both been part of organizations that have been turned around by a good draft. When you look at the picks you have in the top 100, especially maybe where it matches up with the strength of the draft, how much can this draft kind of really catapult this organization?
Yeah, coming into this, we've been really fortunate to have 6 picks in the top 100. Like you said, that's a big deal. And especially, I mean, having the number, it's not just 6 picks in the top 100, it's the number 2 overall pick, and then really high second round picks, and then 3 third rounds. So that's a lot that we can do with that. It can really help us. We've done like Lance has done a really good job in free agency, we all have, and now we have a chance to really supplement that and now build through this draft and with these 9 picks that we have. And so, we're really fortunate to have that, and I think we have a real chance to make this team a lot better.
Yeah, I think with what we did in free agency, it allowed us to have more freedom in the draft to go various different directions rather than need. It really allowed us to blend need and talent. And the quality of the picks, like Adam talked about, at the top of the rounds, just the real high-quality level of the picks, especially those top 6, really allow us to make a dramatic impact on our roster right away.
Yeah. You may have noticed there's a lot of attention paid to the quarterback position in this draft. I'm curious, how close are you to finalizing the player you want, and when do you, when would you like to and need to settle on a guy?
Yeah, we're real close. There's still a few more things in the process we have to do, and as you guys may be getting, I'm pretty process driven, process oriented. So we have to debrief on our 30 visits with the whole staff, talk about everybody there. That we haven't done that yet, and then later tonight we have a medical meeting as well to go over all the medicals in the combine and get that information as well, and just ask pointed questions if there are any. On certain players, if we have some questions on that. So so we have a few more things. DQ and I will huddle up and probably have an answer really sometime next week. Now, I will say this also, you know, you don't really need to make a decision until you need to make a decision. So there's no rush with that, but I think we'll have a pretty good idea what we're doing early next week.
Is the possibility – oh, hi, Nikki from the Washington Post. Sorry.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The possibility of coming away from day one with not just one selection but two, is that a consideration for you guys?
Yeah, I think with the optionality we have in all those picks, anything's in consideration. So, like we've said before, we're going to do whatever's best for this organization. So if that's moving up, if that's moving back, we'll do that. And lucky for us, we have the ability to do so with all the ammo we have.
And then for both of you, you talked about some of the changes you've made just to prepare for the draft process. How many, for each of you, how much have you drawn from previous stops and how you've gone about this pre-draft process?
Yeah. You want to take that?
Yeah, we had never worked together, but we've been close friends. And my goal coming in here was to make, we had roughly 70 days to get it right. And my goal was to make this as comfortable for Adam and as where he has the ultimate level of confidence in what we're doing on draft night. So it took that approach, 70 days to get it right for him the way he wants it to be, while also kind of interjecting my opinions, my experiences. And I think we've done a pretty good job of collaborating. Like, this is what I like to do, this is what he likes to do, this is what he's used to, this is what I'm used to. And while also asking a lot of everybody in this building to help make that a reality. But I feel really confident with where we are currently, and I think we've done a good job in a condensed amount of time getting to where we need to be to make good decisions next week.
Yeah, I think that's, do you want me to add on to that? That was pretty good.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to add on to that, I would say that we found out a lot about the process, and it'll really be good to implement all the things we learned from what was existing here, what Lance did in Detroit, and what I did in San Francisco, and blend all that together as we move forward for the next, and just make every year even better.
We try to never lose sight of the most important thing is evaluating, getting the players right. It's not going to be perfect in year one. It's going to be ever-changing, ever-developing. And every couple of days we'd remind ourselves of that, you know, just kind of, it's not going to be perfect, but we're gonna get it right. We're gonna make good decisions. So.
Yeah, what's important right now?
Yeah.
Ben Standig with The Athletic. Sort of to the point for both of you, what you're just saying about there will be some mistakes, but you try to do the best. You have the 9 picks. You know, when you are able to move around the board, get more picks, it gives you more shots to on players. How important is that? Obviously, you have the 9 now, but just in general as a philosophy, to have as many picks as possible because there are going to be mistakes.
Yeah, I think, Ben, it's you know this, it's people evaluating people. So, you know, I would love to sit here and say we're going to go 9 for 9. I hope we do. I have great confidence that we will, but there's a slight chance we won't. And so I say that, I'm joking. But that, so that is, there's a lot to that. Having 9 picks really gives us that where they say you have more swings or however you want to put it. So we're very fortunate to have that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all situational, honestly. There's times where somebody is really jumping out at you as being available, and there's times where you're like, man, there's nothing feels right here, and it might make more sense to go back and take some extra swings later. So I really think, for me personally, it's always situational. It's not like a steadfast philosophy.
And a lot's been made over the last 24, 48 hours about bringing in the 4 quarterbacks. I know you have in the past at San Francisco, Adam, have brought in different prospects before. Is it different with quarterbacks, or what's your sort of philosophy behind bringing in all these guys together?
Yeah, I don't think it's very different personally with quarterbacks. You know, with all these guys, they all know each other really well. And so what was cool is while we got to see them all together in a group setting at the Topgolf, which was really fun, and I think everybody had a great time, and it was very beneficial to see everybody in a more relaxed environment. They all got a lot of time individually with their coaches, with us, you know, where they were staggered coming in too, so it wasn't like they were sitting in a room together. They all had their own individual time with everybody, so it worked out really well. And then you got a great blend of that, and then working everybody together, you know, in a fun environment.
Yeah, this is
you're listening to the press conference of Adam Peters and Lance Newmark, more involved than I anticipated him being the assistant general manager, which is great to hear and see. Peters empowering his people out there in Ashburn as they get ready for the NFL draft.
Certain individuals were versus others. Just that loose kind of casual feel from the one night to the next day where it was more individualized the next day. So I really thought it was a great experience because you see how guys are in a group, and then you spend time with them individually as well. So I came away from it very impressed with the process, and I just thought it was a very positive overall experience.
Hi, David Aldridge with The Athletic also. You both have been with very successful organizations the last several years, and so you know what good play looks like, and specifically at the quarterback position. And I just wondered, outside of on-the-field talent, which everybody has preferences about, what do you think about that position lends itself most to success for an organization, for a not just a team, but for an entire organization when someone's doing it correctly?
Yeah, that's a great question, David. And I think there's a lot of different things. I think one is leadership. And if you're talking about just off the field, and leadership can be on the field, a lot of times things blend together too, on and off the field, when you're talking about intelligence and everything else and processing and everything like that. But I think leadership and, you know, people can lead in different ways. And the best way you lead is how you lead. Like how you lead might be different than how Ben leads and so on and so forth. But being yourself and leading in your own way, and that's by doing things the right way, working, you know, coming in early, staying late, challenging your teammates, but in the right way, because you've earned their trust, because they respect you, because you know they have your back and you have their back, and that you've put in the work. So if I were to point to maybe one thing that we're not talking about that's something that's tangible on the field, I would say that.
Yeah, I would say there are some core traits, I think, that, you know, obviously the film, and then the core traits of work ethic. There's like the great quarterbacks I've been around have tremendous inner belief in themselves. And I think the more you're around a person, the more you feel that, yeah, and see that in them. And I would say the ability to unify people and create a common belief. But that core belief in themselves has always been something that I've seen and been a part of, and seen that be translate to success.
Hey guys, Scott Abraham, ABC7. Good to see you both. Obviously, there's a lot of talk in this town of the magnitude and the weight of this number two overall pick. The word pressure, I mean, how do you kind of embrace that, and do you see that in this situation where you hit this out of the park, huge for the franchise, it could go the other way as well?
Yeah. Do we look stressed? there is a lot of pressure, and it's great responsibility, and we take this very seriously, and that's why, yeah, we've been working tirelessly on this and turning over every stone, and we want to do this obviously for this organization, but for this region, for this fan base, and for the men, the coaching staff, and the players on the field to get this right. So it's great responsibility. With that comes pressure, but that's what we signed up for.
The notion of a trade in the draft. Curious what your philosophy is in terms of making a trade, going up, trading back. Both of you feel free to answer.
Yeah, I think you know, where anywhere in the draft, you know, not necessarily number two, but you know, if you're talking about like a trade in the second round or something like that, I think Lance answered that really well. Where it's situational, and it's, you know, what opportunities you have. And ultimately, it's always going to be what's best for your team. You have a great opportunity to move up when you think there's a player there that you can reach, and it's not, you're not giving up too much, and it's a player that can you feel convicted in terms of not only how they fit on the field, but how they fit as a person in your locker room. then you can go up and do that. And same way when Lance, the example that Lance gave, when either you're not feeling like you really want to pick somebody with the pick that you're at, or maybe you have three guys that you have at the same level and say, okay, we can trade down a little bit and still get one of these three guys. So it's all about the situation and where you're at, and you just have to be ready to do it. And you do that by preparation, by conversations with other teams, and then just understanding the value of draft picks and having the technology too at your fingertips to understand, okay, this is what it would take to move up, this is what it would take to move back. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I think what Lance said is it's situational.
Sam Fortier with the Washington Post. This is related sort of to DA's question. Why is quarterback evaluation so hard? And since you guys have been in the league, do you think the league has improved at it?
Oh, wow. I don't know if we've improved at it. If you look at the 21 draft, right, which I was a part of in that one too, and that was you're seeing that it wasn't a ton of success at the top end of that draft based on so far. There's all those guys' stories are yet to be written. So it is hard, and it's really hard, but you try to learn from all those things that you, as you go along. We've both been in this 20 plus years. So we have a lot of experience, both good and bad. You probably learn a little bit more from your bad experiences and from your good experiences, but you try to bank all those experiences and everything you learn and help you make the best decision the next time. But just like anything, I think we talked about it, maybe it was at the combine, but it's a lot easier to evaluate a defensive end than it is a quarterback, because it's, you know, there's so many other things that go into a quarterback than just what you see on the tape. And that's really the core of it, is just there's so many different variables within a quarterback. What he has to do on the field each and every day, and what he has to do every day in preparation to get there. I'm not minimizing defensive ends by any means. I was one. But it's a little more simple in terms of the evaluation process.
Without giving away state secrets, can you give us an example of how you and Adam have worked together, that collaboration, or, you know, a certain thing throughout the process that's stood out to you?
I would say what has stood out to me was, I wasn't sure what to expect, to be honest with you. I mean, as good of friends as we are, we haven't really talked about processes and how we do things. So I came in really just open-minded to try to do the best work for him and make it as good as it can be for us. I would say I've been really impressed with how prepared he was for this job. That'd probably be the thing that I would say first and foremost. He was extremely prepared for this, and just how confident he is in what we're doing as a team and this whole process. And I guess I would say the most important thing is how prepared he is and how hard he works. Those are the two things that have jumped out to me. And very even keeled and steady. There's very little fluctuation. Very poised, calm, and it's a great environment to be in.
Thanks. I'll give you that $20 when we get back to the office.
C1 Associated Press. Adam, are you still considering trading down, or have you guys decided to use that number two pick?
We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. Yeah, we feel great about sticking there.
How do you see the offensive linemen, particularly tackles, in this draft? And it seems like there are a handful of first-round and kind of second-round prospects available at that position.
Yeah, I think it's pretty universally known. It's a really good tackle class, deep tackle class. As you can see in a lot of the mock drafts, there's a ton of those guys coming off in the first round. So we got a chance to visit with a lot of them, and really at different levels. But, yeah, we're really, really excited about that group. And really, I actually think it's a really good draft, you know, especially for us. Fortunate in that in the top 100, there's a lot of really good players there. It may thin out later. That remains to be seen. But tackling in a lot of other positions, there's a lot of really good players that'll be available.
Tom Lavero with the Washington Times. This is for Adam. Before you even took this job, at the end of this college football season, did you have a quarterback that you liked the most? And if so, has that changed?
That's a great question. no, because before I took this job, we weren't really scouting quarterbacks, especially top of the draft quarterbacks, really hard, because we had Brock Purdy. I was with San Francisco, as you know, Tom. And so we weren't – in our job and what Lance's job will be, you have to really prioritize your time. And there's a lot of things that you have to do besides just college draft. There's free agency. There's managing people. There's a lot of different things. So I tried to, over my, I think, 7 years there, I learned that I need to focus my energy on things that will be great for the team. And so spending a ton of time on the first-round quarterbacks wasn't something that I did. I really wish I would have done that a little bit more. Didn't know that this was going to happen, but so really didn't dig into this group of guys as much as I would have liked to. I knew who they were. I'd watched them, but I hadn't done the full workup and evaluation like I had done at some other positions. So really came in with a clean slate and was extremely impressed with a lot of the quarterbacks in this class.
J.P. Finley with NBC4 and 106.7. Question for both you guys. Whether it's round one or round five, as you're watching, if you see a guy like this guy could be a Pro Bowler in 3 years versus this guy can start for us week one, how do you make that determination of what you go for?
Yeah, it's I think it depends. A couple of things, where you are in the draft, like you said, whether it's round one or round five. I think you don't really want to pick a guy. Just me personally, I don't want to pick a guy who's going to start in 3 years in the first round. But you might be a little more patient in later rounds, especially depending on what you have on your team too. So it's really dependent on what you have on your team, where you are in the draft, what position it is, and who you have in front of them. So that really kind of, for me, it allows you to not be so locked in on we need this person right now, which is one of the reasons why we did what we did in free agency. Was, you know, so you don't, if there's a player maybe at one position that might need a year, which a lot of guys in college, they do need a year now. It's just, especially in our league, there's not as much development in college, and there's not as much time for us to develop the guys in the off season. So a guy can be a really good player year two, but they can stink in year one. There's been a lot of good stories that, I don't want to say stink, but just not ready. And so I've been around a lot of players that weren't ready in year one, but they had that year under their belt and they were really good year two. So it gives you a little bit of runway if you have the guys in front of them, like I think we do in terms of, you know, our depth chart right now.
Adam Peters, the GM of the Commanders, and his assistant, General Manager Lance Newmark, with the media in Ashburn. Peters says, does not expect to trade back, feels great about their options at pick number two. Also says they expect to know who they're taking with the second pick by early next week. We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You just heard from Adam Peters, the general manager of the Commanders, right here on Grant and Danny. I had two big takeaways. We played about a half-hour press conference for you. There were other notable things that he said, but I really think from a news standpoint, there were two elements that we should cover. The first, he does not expect to trade back. He went as far onto the record as I think he will or should to suggest that they're going to make a pick at number two. He said they feel great about their options, and he does not foresee trading back. That's a tell. The other thing he said was, and I don't know if you guys believe this or not, Danny, you can weigh in on this. He suggested they don't know who they're picking right now at number two. I'm quite sure they could make a pick if they had to. He actually said you don't have to make a pick until you have to make a pick, meaning when that clock dwindles down to zero and you've got to turn in the card. But he said that he anticipates them having their pick figured out early next week, which is to say that right now, this moment, the process is not done. He says he's process-oriented, said that they still want to debrief after the big Topgolf experience extravaganza. They've still got some medical interviews they've got to do. So let's work in reverse order. Do you believe him when he says right now, this moment, they have not decided who they're taking?
So I've been pretty steadfast in this. I don't believe that necessarily. But they have, what I do believe is that they have sworn themselves to this approach and this secrecy. They have decided no one's going to know. We are not leaking anything at any point in time to anybody. That is a matter of policy. That is a matter of course. If you can't get on board with that, you're not on board. Period. End of story. That's what we're doing and how we're doing it. Or in this case, not doing. So again, there, like if something crazy had happened at Topgolf, like if Michael Penix had a bad swing and he took a swing and knocked over one of the televisions that's up there and thrown a temper tantrum, they might have moved him down their board a little bit or changed some things.
Or if an agent got really angry and started tweeting about the team's process.
That is a potential example as well. Okay. That is another potential example as well. If you're naming examples, that's one. So yeah, things could change. But I do. I think we've been at 11:49, 11:50. Now we're like 11:57. I think they know.
I think it's semantics, but I think two things can be true. I think they probably know who they're picking, and they still have to do some of those things he referenced in this process. And the guy that they eventually, when they sit down and have the meeting and say, all right, we got our pick, this is our guy, print the jerseys, is the same guy right now that they're expecting to pick that they assume they're going to pick. But it's not official because they haven't written it down and they haven't necessarily had that, whatever that final meeting looks like where they go, all right, let's throw it all out there. Who is it? They haven't done that yet. But the semantics to me come into play where I think the guy that they're leaning toward now or feel good about now is going to be the same guy that they decide on with some finality early next week in whatever meeting they have. Then you've got the other bullet point here, which is he does not expect to trade back, and he thinks they're going to pick it too. To me, this has been a no-brainer for really the entire process. It's simple to me. It is hard to find a quarterback. He talked about how difficult it is as a person evaluating people, how imperfect this whole experience is, and how hard it is. He was with the Niners when they drafted Trey Lance after trading the world to go get him at number three, and that was a complete fiasco. The higher you pick, though, the better the chance that you get this really difficult thing correct. And it's why I wanted to stay at two. I think you're taking a better quarterback. You're choosing between better QB options at two than you would be at three or at four or certainly at 11 or at 23 or in the second round. So my interest in trading back has been fairly minimal. I think if you get an unbelievable offer and you didn't love any of the quarterbacks, that there's a path to that. It just seemed to me like the chances of that were minuscule because there are so many different QB options with different strengths, different flavors, if you will. It seemed like they were going to be smitten with one of them. And it certainly looks like that's how it's going to end up.
Agreed. Yeah. So, I mean, there is a economics or a statistician's viewpoint, which a couple of guys who won a Nobel Prize years ago basically went into the science of the draft, meaning we put this human fallibility on this imperfect thing and treat it like it's a perfect science. The best bet you have is to take as many picks as possible because nobody knows. And if even the best guys in the world at this don't know, then it would behoove you to stockpile draft picks at all times. So there's that data part of it, which always kind of made sense to me to a degree. Then you add in, though, this opportunity to pick this high. So I am a little bit more interested than you, it sounds like, in trading back. Again, assuming a great, incredible, ridiculous offer. You don't do it just to do it. You don't do it to move back two spots and pick up a sixth rounder next year. That doesn't help you. But if you get that same offer that Washington gave St. Louis to switch picks and you end up with a ton and you still get a quarterback out of this draft and stockpile for years to come, that's not unreasonable to me. But it does sound like they're as much as they're willing to let on, going with option A, which is we'll probably just stay put and take one of these QBs.
My interest in moving back a pick or two, staying in the top four, is negligible, but it exists. It is a minimum amount of interest, but I'm not going to say 0%. Moving out of the top five to go back into the middle of the first round or the second round, absolutely not for me. I'm coming out of this draft with one of these four QBs. And the only way I can guarantee that is having one of the top four picks, right?
Yeah, the way this thing is lining up, yeah.
So that is how I plan on going about it, and if so facto, no trade back for me. We do have Jordan Reed, who's ESPN's draft expert. Really excited to have him on the show for the first time today at 3:30, coming up on Grant and Danny. Adam Peters spoke with the media. I've got an observation about the press conference that makes me feel really good about him and the direction of everything going on and out in Ashburn. Let's hit that next on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. You are locked into The Fan. We got a juicy show for you today. Jordan Reed of ESPN on the NFL draft at 3:30. Giving away tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall at 4. Nick Doubt of the Capitals as they prepare to take on the New York Rangers for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs on Sunday afternoon at Madison Square Garden. Doubter today at 4:30. And then Ryan Wilson, our buddy from CBS Sports, with the latest on all the draft rumors at 5 o'clock here on The Fan. Last quiet night before things really ramp up tomorrow. The Nats have the Astros in town. 5-year World Series celebration. And then on the other side of the Nationals, Astros Friday and Saturday. First 20,000 fans getting beautiful replica World Series rings on Saturday at the 4:05 game. Caps on Sunday. And we are rolling, baby, into draft week. Thursday, 1 week from now, the Commanders are landing their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, we are busy little bees, my friend, and it's good. It's all good stuff. The that 5-year thing, I get it. I understand. I know how math works, but it feels both forever ago and also just like yesterday, right? Because of the time warp haze that is and was pandemic and lockdown, and at times it seemed like it was an eternity, and now it all kind of went by in a blur. Like, I know we did all that stuff. Anyway, just crazy to think about. It's been that long. And how different the landscape is for all of DC sports since then. Dan Snyder doesn't own the football team anymore. The Nationals traded, rightfully so, every superstar pretty much that was part of that organization. And now it's a new group of kids that are literally knocking on the door to change the fortunes. The Capitals, meanwhile, have kind of like held on with a couple baseline guys from that core of 2018. And now they're in this incredible magical run to get into the postseason themselves. It's just amazing to think about all the turnaround.
You just heard the Adam Peters press conference on Grant and Danny for the first 30 minutes of our show, getting ready for the NFL draft with Lance Newmark. A few things that I just wanted to point out that I thought were a nice touch. He began the press conference by singling out every single scout by name for the hard work that they've put in leading up to this week's draft. I really like that. You could tell that Peters is a former scout, showing love to, showing reverence and respect for the scouts in the organization. He ended up going even further than that. Shouted out everybody in the R&D department, the analytics, you know, the guys that have rebuilt all the databases, went through the PR department. I mean, if you work for the team, he essentially acknowledged you. The kitchen staff, he joked about the fact that he doesn't want that D-plus rating anymore.
I thought that was great.
They're trying hard to fix that. Now, that wasn't the best radio in the world, sitting there and just listening to him name, you know, 100 people in the organization. But I think that was a window into, number one, the decency of this man, who I think is a really good guy. You're seeing why people all over football really, really like him, in addition to his acumen at picking players. But also, Danny, I think that the start of the press conference was significant because the Commanders have said really all along, and their actions are showing it, they want to be a people-first organization. They want to basically take care of their own, be familial in how they operate. They want to give everyone a seat at the table, so to speak. And he's name-checking everybody. You know, he's got Newmark sitting next to him answering questions. And someone might say, well, Ron had Martin Mayhew with him. Martin Mayhew was the general manager by title. That's why he was at all those press conferences. Because theoretically, even though we know Ron was running everything, he was the GM. He was the head of the table in the front office, Roman Reigns style. Lance Newmark is an assistant general manager. I don't remember, I guess it's impossible for a GM to be sitting up there next to an assistant GM because they haven't really had one. But a true general manager sitting next to his assistant GM, and it wasn't just like a yes man, what Ron just said is exactly how we feel. Mm-hmm. They go back and forth with their thoughts, their observations, critiquing the process, each other. I felt really good about that. It tells me a lot about how Peters operates. He's not hiding his top lieutenant, keeping him out of the public eye to keep him around so he doesn't get his own job, doesn't run his own front office. He's empowering him. To me, I had good feels just watching that press conference about the way that things are being run.
No, it's a sharp observation. One thing I just add, I think I rubber stamp everything you just said. I would add on, I loved the, when, big picture, I like it when I'm just a dude outside, okay? And I see what's happening, and I go, here's how this would make sense, right? Or I'm not sure why they're doing that, but I'd like to hear it. There was a cohesive, thoughtful reference to free agency. It was actually Newmark that made the comment. I don't know if you picked up on it. I'm sure you heard it, where he said, yeah, what we did in free agency allowed us to not have pressure in the draft. That was what a reasonable person outside looking in would look at their free agency haul and go, oh, that makes sense. That's why they're doing this. They don't want to be tied long-term to these guys. That's why it's a lot of 1 and 2 year deals to some veterans to sort of upgrade the talent. But also, they don't want to have these guys block potential draft picks. They want flexibility in the draft. And Newmark basically said that, and I'm kind of parsing up his words. I love when a thoughtful approach makes sense. When I get frustrated is that when I don't see the logic or contradict something you just said 2 weeks ago, this is the plan, and they had a plan, and they just kind of went with the plan, which is pretty good. I love that.
All signs were pointing toward Jaden Daniels at number two going into last evening, and maybe they still are. But the agent for Jaden Daniels did something that provides a lot of intrigue and maybe even some questions about whether or not he will or should be the pick. Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.